Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, "We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Today, after the 10 o'clock service, we finally bless the Hardin Courtyard, unveiling the last detail, which is the plaque that says Hardin Courtyard 2017. It's a great moment for us, remembering the life of the man who led St. Paul's for 27 years, Hugh Hardin, and his family. When I read this verse in 1 Thessalonians, I thought of Hugh. "Remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Just one illustration of how Hugh fulfilled these things. For a while, Hugh and Betty were going to Christ Church Sausalito, where Hugh actually functioned as a retired priest. And we were visiting while he was working there, and he said, "Does it ever happen to you where you're up saying and praying the Eucharistic prayer, and you get totally lost and forget where you are because you're so absorbed in doing it?" And that kind of does happen from time to time. But here he was, a man who had been ordained for, I don't know what, 40 years at that point? And still, he was so absorbed in the work that he could lose himself. Hugh had a deep spiritual keel, and he imbued this place with that same sensibility, that same deep spiritual keel. Right now, a deep spiritual keel is exactly what we need. Particularly, think of the disorienting experience we've all had over the last few weeks with the Sonoma and Napa fires. It was only a week ago Thursday that we were told that the air quality in Marin was as bad as Beijing. We were all breathing this. Last Saturday, I left to go and preach at the cathedral in Jacksonville and lead the clergy retreat there. And as I took off from SFO, I could see that San Francisco was completely in the clear, except for the very northern part around the Golden Gate, and Marin was completely in this gray miasma coming from the smoke. What was particularly disorienting to me was to go to the cathedral in Jacksonville, where just in their standard prayers of the people, they prayed for the victims of the shooting in Las Vegas, for Puerto Rico, and for the fires in Napa and Sonoma. I'm used to having it be the other way around. We're here praying for those things happening over there. And here it was, happening right where we live. Now, it must be said that for us, the impact was only indirect. High school athletics were canceled because of the smoke. I know of at least one parishioner, John and Mario Shaver, who put up 18 people that were friends of theirs in their small condominium. There were churches responded to some degree. Many of them were ready and able to take refugees. They didn't need to because they were going for the larger places first. But several of my peers, among them Vanessa Glass, Lynn Oldham Robinette, Richard Schopper, went over to the county center and acted as chaplains to the people, mostly immigrant laborers, who took refuge there. So the impact was real for us, but it was indirect this time. As we face crises like this, what is our work of faith now? What is our labor of love? How can we express the steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ? Let me propose four possible responses. First, if you have a heart for this work of reconstruction, go and do it. Two parishioners at least, Bruce Birch and Jennifer Wallace, have signed up through the Center for Volunteer and Nonprofit Leadership to take roles actually going up to Sonoma and Napa and helping those who have been displaced, particularly during this work of reconstruction. So there are things that you can do now, and if that is your call, please go do it. A second possible response is for us to start getting ready for what happens the next time around. John Shaver, the man who I just mentioned a moment ago, who helped 18 people, friends and family, who were displaced by the fire, is starting the work of disaster preparedness for us here at St. Paul's. And we've only begun that work. So if these fires disoriented you and made you think, I need to do something, that could be a very helpful thing to do. Let's get ready for the next time. What happened this time is it revealed that some things are good and in place, but other things need work. We could do better the next time around. So if this is a call to action on that front, by all means, talk to John or talk to me. The reality is that when John would always bring it up at vestry meetings, it always went low on the agenda. We always had more, you know, pressing things. And yet, a third is that Jacob and I, along with others, are working on permanent housing for the precariously housed in Marin, particularly young families. One of the things that this fire revealed is how many precariously housed people there are and what a screwed up housing situation we have. The schools needed to close, not because of the smoke, but because so many of the employees lived in Sonoma and couldn't get to work. As I think you know, the majority of the people that work for the county don't live in the county because they can't afford it. So crises like these reveal underlying things that are screwed up. And rather than just whining about it, we're creating St. Monica's Mutual Housing Community. I have a stack of a little quarterly report on the temporary altar in there. If you want to read about what we're doing, there are going to be lots of opportunities to help out, particularly after we cut the ribbon and want to be in active relationship with our new neighbors in Marin as friends. So that's a third response. The fourth, and this runs deep for us, for who we are, is to continue to open up and share our sacred space. This kind of disorientation opens up in all of us, all human beings, all 250,000 people in Marin County, deep questions that are not easily answered. But they are answered in a deep human way when one becomes part of a living community of faith such as this one here. The peace that passes all understanding that we get tastes of from time to time is open to all. It only requires stopping and being quiet and listening and trusting. And it's here in this sacred space. This sacred space that is like an upside-down boat, which, to perhaps push my metaphor too far, has a deep spiritual keel. I'm reminded of some of my favorite words of Scripture, two verses that are put together in the short noonday service for families. O God, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are fixed on you. For in returning and rest we shall be saved. In quietness and trust shall be our strength. This sacred space did not come from nowhere. All around us is the history of what brought it into being, including the names that have made this place possible. Today, Hugh Harden and his family take their well-earned place as people who shaped the keel that informs us today. Now, the work is on us. As we face what I feel certain to be a nearly continually disruptive time, it is all the more important to have places like this with the deep spiritual keel. Let us be grateful for that deep keel we have been given to steer this little boat. By God's grace, let us show forth to the world our work, our labor, our steadfastness in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.